Hey, Jen, I got a knock-knock joke for you.
Go ahead.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Why?
Why who?
Why do people buy? My amazing ebook is available right now, and even better, it's completely free. Figuring out why people buy is 1,000 times more powerful than knowing how to sell. And this ebook will give you the insight that will allow you to uncover the genuine buying motive of your customer every single time.
Plus, and this is no joke, you don't have to knock down any doors to buy it. It's free. And the link is in the show notes.
Just by a series of events, I decided to open a cafe in Mexico. And everything for me happened so...
I think of that often. I'm possessed of Mexican cafes. All I need is Spanish and coffee.
It was the most amazing thing. And it was that... Taking that leap of faith, I don't even know how it happened, you guys. It just kind of did. Mm. And everything from that point was, oh my God, I can really be in control of my life. I can decide how my life looks.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the premier podcast for sales and personal development all around the globe. And I think we are live in your living room right now on your cell phone or on your laptop. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto. And
I'm Jen Gluckow. I'm founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die. We are so glad you have joined us today.
You know, normally I talk about what's happening, but our guest today is Nikki Wells, and she is bringing us the woo. And I know woo. And a lot of you don't know what woo is because you're wrestling fans that thought Ric Flair brought the woo, but he...
This is a whole different kind of woo.
Yeah. This is a woo without the belt. But I think that you're going to learn a lot today about what it means and how you can use it to influence your life.
Totally. And if you already know what woo means and you're like, ugh, I'm not into woo, let me skip. Let me just tell you something. This is an amazing...
Wait a minute. Why would you skip anyway?
I don't know. But some people are just anti-woo. And let me tell you, this episode could be a game changer for you and your woo, but mainly you. So I want you to listen, okay? It's amazing.
We're going to start today with an answer... to a question from our 2020 sales vision group.
What's our 2020 sales vision group, Jeffrey?
It's where you come on and we put you in a answering position. Not a hot seat per se, but we'll answer your question.
Yep.
We go live. We had a great live session yesterday. For those of you who missed it, it was really, really good. A lot of people, a lot of interaction.
Fun. Oh, yeah. Amazing. So if you're interested in 2020 sales vision, where do they go? We're going to link that to you in the show notes. I don't know if the doors are open right now based on when you're hearing it or if it's in a waitlist mode. We only let people in a certain time of the month so that we can let you all in at once and help you out. Make sure we're focusing on helping you. But it's only $20 a month to get real help, real access to me and Jeffrey.
So David writes, what's a good path in sales? Quantity of customers or quality of customers to earn more money? I'm working 12.5 hours a day, 6 days a week. He sells security surveillance equipment.
That's a lot of work, David.
Yeah.
You're working your ass off.
So you go to a customer and you say, listen, I set some cameras up around your place last night. This is what I found.
No.
You decide, you know, how many hours you're going to invest in a day in your sales career. But I think the question more is, what kind of quality presentation do you have? And it sounds like you're doing a pitch the whole time rather than trying to create quality testimonials.
And David, I know that you sell security surveillance equipment, but here's the deal. No one buys security surveillance equipment. They buy the outcome. They buy the transformation. They buy the protection, okay? So they buy that feeling. that when they are not there, their stuff is being watched. They buy that feeling, that peace of mind, knowing that their home or their office or whatever it may be is safe. Okay. And so you have to talk about when you're meeting with these people, you have to talk about the transformation, the outcome, the here's what happened to Joe, but because he had our equipment, here's what actually happened. And so you need to paint that picture for them, because if you're going in and saying, okay, so we have these cameras and this one will record this much information and this, like, that's too technical. People don't give
exactly.
a shit. Okay, exactly. What they care about is their peace of mind. And so knowing that, you have to be very cognizant of that when you're talking to them to really figure out, well, what do they care about? What is going to make them buy? And so that you can talk to that transformation.
David asks about a quality customer. How would you define a quality customer, and can quality customers cut into the amount of time that you're working each day?
Totally is the answer. But the reality of it is they may not know they're a quality customer until someone proves something to them beyond David. And there has to be an ability for you to prove who you are and what you're trying to do. And to me, I would either look at somebody who had just burgled a home and they knew what was going to happen beforehand, or a picture of my baby sleeping confidently, soundly, you know, Googling, you know, playing whatever they do when they're in the crib by themselves. I want to make sure. I would bring a doll with me. I would say, okay, here's a baby. Let's say that's your baby. And you have two choices. You can either leave it alone and not take any look at it while the baby's sleeping, or you can survey it. Which would you prefer to do?
Listen, I want to survey our
right. Okay,
dogs.
And then I'm going to say, why do you want to survey it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is to make sure that it's safe and to give me peace of mind. It's the same with your life.
So, Jen, he's also asking about a sort of a balance between quantity and quality. And he says customers, but maybe leads as well, or prospects. How do you find that balance between casting a wide net but also finding the right people to deal with?
Yeah, I'm happy you asked. I was just about to go there. Like, he's saying he works 12 and a half hours a day, 6 days a week. That's a lot of time. So, David, how much time are you actually spending? And I want you to take a stopwatch.
Or investing.
And time yourself. How much time are you actually, let's use the word investing, that's cool, with actual customers versus what else are you doing? Because a lot of times salespeople can keep themselves very busy, okay, doing just stuff that doesn't matter. I want you to look at the 10% of activities that you do that actually matter, that actually get you in front of customers who can say yes. How much of your time of that 12 and a half hours times 6 days a week are you actually spending in front of customers? And guys, this doesn't just go for David. This goes for you too. Like, look at where you're spending your time in a week. If you're working even just a 40-hour work week, how much of that is being spent with customers who can say yes versus bullshit time where you think you're working, but like you're doing things that aren't really going to impact your bottom line, your sales?
If you're going to measure your time in front of people that can say yes to you, it's very simple. Add up what it is every week and then double it the next week, and somehow miraculously you'll double your sales.
So those are exactly the kind of answers that you will find in our 2020 Sales Vision Group. It's an exclusive sales coaching group that has already seen results with many members just like David. Registration is closed for now, but we will be opening registration soon. The subscription fee is only $20 a month. If you can afford Netflix, then you can afford to spend a little money to improve your sales career. There is a link in the show notes.
That's right. Get on that wait list so you know you're notified when the doors open up.
And if you're a jackass, we're also going to put a Netflix link in there so you can...
You have to decide what's your priority.
So let's get on to Nikki Wells.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nikki Wells tells us how fear can impede progress in your career. She also reveals some of the elements in the alchemy of abundance.
Whoa.
I love that. And she explains how sales is an act of love.
Feel the woo.
I have often felt, God, I love sales. But just dating, you know, I don't want to.
You haven't gotten serious yet? It's been several decades.
We are slow dancing.
glad you're here. We have to get into this like immediately. What's a soulpreneur?
This is the coolest thing, right? So for me and for the people that I work with, soulpreneurs are people who are creating businesses based on the expression of their soul, of their passion, of who they really are. So I feel like there's this new world of entrepreneurship that's opening up, where people are creating businesses based on what the expression of their highest self. So I'm like super woo. I'm bringing the woo today to the call.
Cool. I love
to the
woo.
Podcast.
And love that. Bringing the woo.
Like, bring the woo.
So
very few chicks can do that.
Give us an example so we can like make this more tangible for our diehards.
Yeah. So a really good example for me would be there's a spiritual, are you guys familiar with like spiritual entrepreneurs and people who are kind of using that as the work that they do in the world? So we can go beyond just yoga teachers. So we have like traditional coaching, right? We have traditional coaches, and there's this new field of coaching that I see where people are supporting other people in figuring out what their passion is, what their soul work is. And so those for me are the soulpreneurs, the people who are choosing to live their life in complete alignment in every single area, and then helping guide other people to do the same. This is how we're going to change the world. The world, there's so much crazy pain and suffering going on. And we all have to get more in alignment with our soul, with our heart, with our truth, in order to make a big impact.
How do you find
that? That's what soulpreneurs do.
That's awesome. How do you find that alignment or create that alignment?
This is where mindset comes in. We create our realities through the beliefs that we hold to be true. And a belief is simply a thought that we think over and over and over. So creating alignment in your life happens when you decide, when you get crystal clear on exactly what it is that you want in each area of your life. There's like what we call the big five. So we have our health, our love and relationships, our finances, our career or our business, and our connection to something greater or spirituality. And so I like to add a sixth one to that also, which I call adventure and play. And so creating alignment, we have to decide what kind of life do we want to be living in every single area. And when we make that decision, then we use the power of our subconscious mind and the thoughts that we're thinking to create alignment. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm assuming, though, that you mean it's a positive thing. So when you start coaching somebody and they're all negative about everything, they don't like how the world's going, the world's against me, I'm trying to fight my way up the ladder, but somebody keeps cutting off the rungs. Tell me how you coach somebody who starts out negative into this wonderful world of you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So the first and biggest thing is that you have to be at the point where you're no longer willing to tolerate the negative. I can't drag you along and make you see the amazingness in the world, right? There has to be a part of you who's kind of like fed up, if you will, with how it's been going. I always ask the question, what have I been tolerating? What am I no longer willing to tolerate? And so, you know, when I work with clients, if they're at a place where they're completely in what I would call the victim mentality, you know, the world's terrible, everything's terrible, my finances are terrible, my life's terrible, you know, all that. If they're not willing to acknowledge that they're playing the victim of their life and step out of it, I can't do anything for them. So there has to be a decision that's made.
And how did they make that decision? What are the grounds for that criteria? Do they make a list? So, do they check it off?
Yeah. I think that it happens for most people naturally with a life experience, right? Something happens in your life where you're... So for me, I used to teach kindergarten in a low-income school in Colorado. And I got really sick. I was so stressed. And I got to a point where I couldn't go on anymore. And so that was, for me, the turning point that I had to make a decision to, instead of following the straight and narrow path of I'm a teacher and I have a good job and this is what I'm doing. I was like, I'm sick. And if I keep going, God only knows what's going to happen, right? So that was, for me, a turning point in which I decided I'm no longer willing to tolerate this. And then I started asking the questions, you know, what do I want? So this is what I see for most people. They have something that happens to them that sparks that there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way of living.
But there has to be a positive shift. Not like, I'm sick of this. Rather, hey, there's better things out there for me because I'm better than this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's where you find people, right? So I believe that the world is a giant energy grid, like grid paper. And when I'm speaking my truth, when I'm sharing my passion with the world and you hear me, you may be needing to hear the message from me, that positive spark that you're looking for, mm-hmm. to really have that ignition that, like, this is what we're doing.
Nikki, do you remember when you first got that spark? What first ignited you?
Yeah. So the spark for me was, so I left teaching. I was really sick. I decided to go travel. And I, just by a series of events, I decided to open a cafe in Mexico. And everything for me happened so...
I think of, like, that often. I'm possessed of Mexican cafes. All I need is Spanish and coffee.
It was the most amazing thing. And taking that leap of faith, I don't even know how it happened, you guys. It just kind of did. Mm. And everything from that point was, oh my God, I can really be in control of my life. I can decide how my life looks. And so I think it can be different for everybody. That spark can be, you know, reading a book, or listening to somebody's podcast where they just drop a bomb of truth on you and you can't turn back.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Could you speak Spanish?
I do speak Spanish.
Well, that's helpful.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get beyond Buenos Dias, I think you're in pretty good shape.
And hola. My hola down.
What city in Mexico was it?
It was in a small beach town called San Pancho on the western coast of Mexico, about an hour north of Puerto Vallarta.
Cool. We've been there.
Yeah, we got the t-shirt.
Well, we stayed at the resort the whole time.
Yeah.
But
we didn't get the room that you could swim up to, but we could see it from our room.
Nice. Yeah. So, you're almost there.
Yeah, exactly. We were almost there. Okay, so I'm curious by the soulpreneur thing, because I feel like everyone should be a soulpreneur. Why would you be an entrepreneur but not be in total alignment of what you do, or of what you want and who you are? And, like, how does that even work? How is everyone who's an entrepreneur not a soulpreneur?
Because we get stuck into ruts of systems of how we think things should be going. You know, you start a business and you hire a business coach or you work with a consultant, right? And they tell you, this is how you do it, right? And so suddenly, all of a sudden, you start off totally. We all start as entrepreneurs with, this is the thing I love and this is what I want to do, right? And then we literally put ourselves into boxes of, like, I got to follow this set of rules. And as soon as we start to follow a set of rules that come from somebody else, what I see happen so often for people is they kind of lose sight of that initial, like, their heart, their soul, their passion, and why they're doing this. And then we get sucked into the hustle and the grind of entrepreneurship. And the hustle and grind of entrepreneurship is not necessarily supportive of your true soul's alignment, your heart. This is, like, what I want to be doing.
So in other words, that entrepreneur has to have total buy-in to their own process first to become that soulpreneur.
They have to have buy-in, and it's a scary thing to follow your own path and to say, you know what, this system, you know, following it, building my business this way because my coach or whomever told me to do it this way. If that's not working for you and you're not willing to acknowledge that that's not working for you and get yourself back into, what do I want? You know, the question is, Who am I being? What do I really want right now? How do I want to do my business? How do I want to connect with people and share my message or my product with the world?
And how do they get the answers for that?
So this is where the soul part comes in. You got to start listening to your soul. How do you listen to your soul? Sit quietly. Can we chatter the mind for a little bit? You know, quiet the mind chatter, mm-hmm. right?
And distractions.
And listen and ask, what's true for me right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is this path that I'm on, like, my path?
Do you think people like know their soul, their gut feeling deep down, but then sometimes ignore it?
Absolutely. Because we're afraid. We're afraid what's going to happen if I step off the clear, straight, and narrow path.
Mm. Okay, so you're following your own principles of this soulpreneur and following your heart and soul, and you've gone from making just $2,500 in a year to making 20K months, which is, by the way, incredible. So can you explain some of the mindset shifts that you've had to make personally to make that happen?
Yes. So I think for me, it's been such a process and a journey of really doing exactly what we've talked about here today, like getting myself, what do I really want? Like, how do I want this to be? And I've had to do a lot of work to get over the fear of what are other people going to say? You know, in the beginning, it was like, oh my God, if I share this message that I feel in my heart, like what's so-and-so, you know, my uncle or random people, you know, there's that fear that holds us back. And I think for so many soulpreneurs and people who are doing, you know, what I call heart-centered work in the world, there's that, that's the part that we really have to work with, is getting over the fear of what's going to happen, the fear of rejection, right? How am I going to get through this and move forward and not worry so much about the other people? So for me, that was a big mindset shift, was that right there, you know?
Yeah.
And so you develop a formula for your own self-confidence? I mean, to me, so, you know, I talk about belief, and mm-hmm. I say that you have to believe that the customer is better off having purchased from you.
100%. You have to, this is again where we decide. We get to use the power of our mind. How do we want our world to look? What are the beliefs that we want to, you know, operate from? Where are we, getting clear on the beliefs that aren't serving me anymore and creating new beliefs, meaning starting with thinking new thoughts, right? So I had to think and I had to believe that it was possible for me to connect with clients who wanted to work with me in the way that I wanted to connect with them. You know, so when I was building my business, I used Facebook Lives entirely, and I would show up every single day on Facebook Live. And I had to believe that showing up on Facebook Live was enough and was the way that I was going to express myself and my message, and that I was going to get clients from that.
Did you?
I absolutely did. That's how I got to 20K months.
I love it.
Cool.
Okay, so a lot of our diehards are soulpreneurs in the fact that they're selling, even though they might not be entrepreneurs, they're selling from their soul. They're selling from their heart and giving that kind of value because they truly are in alignment with the product or service that they're delivering. But I do think that fear still gets in the way. And I know you talked about you changing your fear mindset, but how? Like, if someone is scared, how do they overcome that? What do you recommend?
So when we're selling, and in general, I feel I need to speak to the function of fear. So fear, we know, is a function of our critter brain, our monkey mind, the part of our subconscious that's responsible to keep us alive, right? So this goes back way back to, you know, cavemen. If I'm being chased by a tiger, saber-toothed tiger, whatever, that fight or flight kicks in. And that is the response of fear. So fear is a mechanism that's always going to be with us. It's never going to go away because it's there to keep us safe and keep us alive. And anytime we're doing something that is unknown or something that where we feel there, our subconscious feels there might be a chance of rejection. Because if you're rejected from somebody, you're potentially going to be rejected from the tribe and die. That's what your subconscious mind believes. And so, you know, to get over the fear, we have to look at and recognize, I feel that the fear is going to be there. It's not going to go away. But can I get the fear in the backseat? So can I acknowledge the fear that I have? I'm feeling like, you know, I'm going to go talk to this prospect and, oh my God, what if they say no? Or what if they don't like it? You know, and there's all the other what ifs that happen. Can we acknowledge those? And then can we say, you know what? Great. And you're in the back seat and I'm in control. And I'm choosing this instead.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
Okay, I just bought a bakery, and I got to sell a bunch of donuts.
I'm hungry.
And today, a lot of people are not showing up to buy donuts. How do I reinstill that faith in myself that people will come in and buy my damn donuts? I'm in the sign business and no one's coming in on a Wednesday. Are they going to show up on a Thursday? Or what do I need to do? Is this a proactive thing or a reactive thing?
Super proactive. So this is where, again, we work with our thoughts. We create a new set of beliefs for ourselves. So I believe that people love coming into my bakery every single day of the week. I believe that people love coming into my bakery every single day of the week to buy donuts from me. And so this would be a new belief. And I would actually guide my clients to take that belief. And we're going to reprogram that to become the thing that our subconscious mind believes to be true. And so one way that you can do this is by putting, you know, if you're working with that, if you're doubting that people are going to come in and buy your product, you put that new belief, the positive belief, into your phone, for example, and you set alarms throughout the day. And so these alarms go off throughout the day. And when they go off, you stop and you remind yourself, this is what I now believe. So I believe that people come into my bakery every day and buy donuts. I believe it's easy to sell donuts in my bakery. And you go over and over and you repeat that because the mind loves repetition.
I love that. But what if people just aren't buying my donuts? So I'm trying so hard in my mind to believe I can make the sale.
Maybe I should advertise. Maybe I should promote.
No, but
maybe
but
I should go out and give away donuts.
But think about this for a second. Like, I'm trying to change this belief, but the reality is the same. So the people aren't showing up or they're not taking my bait to buy the whatever I'm selling. How do I overcome that?
Yeah. Well, so you keep working your belief because sometimes we need some time to create the new belief, but you also have to take action. And you also, this is where it gets a little like, what? You have to take action and you also have to release control a little bit. This is where the trust comes in. And if you're really operating as a solopreneur, you've got to have that level of trust that you are supported and that everything is working out for you.
So I totally understand. You had me with belief and take action. But let's talk about releasing that control. Who are we releasing it to?
Yeah.
And we're going to go woo. I can feel it.
We're going woo. So
Roger that. Full woo.
We need a sound. Yeah. We need a sound effect for woo.
Remember when Star Trek did it to Warp 9?
Like a Star Trek-y or like something. Totally. Do we have a woo,
Mr. Soundman over there? Do we have a woo?
Do we have a woo?
No, we don't. We don't stock woo sounds, but we'll get some.
All right, we'll get some.
Get Ric Flair.
So how do we release this into the world? Like, what? Release control. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So you you know, I believe that there's a higher consciousness, the universe at large, if you will, is a giant, you know, everything in the world is energy. Everything is energy. You guys are energy in motion. I am energy in motion. The entire world is energy. It's not really that fixed. And so when we're releasing control, we're releasing the energy. The desire that we have carries an energetic imprint, and we're releasing that out into the universe, or, you know, if you want to say God, angels, your spirit, whoever, like whatever you want to attach that to, that something greater, we're releasing it to that. And we live in a co-creative universe. The reality that we're experiencing, we are co-creating that. We're experiencing that. We're creating that with our thoughts. And it's also being mirrored back to us because everything is energy. And so releasing control is letting your desire, having the desire, holding yourself as capable of experiencing the thing that you desire. Because a desire is an expression of your soul, of your highest truth. And you let that go. And can you lean in and trust that the universe at large, that greater energy field, is going to bring the desire to you?
So if you don't release control, is it that you would be in a state of worry or something like holding onto it and in potentially a negative way that could influence your thinking?
Absolutely. When you're trying to create new beliefs and you hold on so tightly, like you put a lot of expectations and conditions on how the belief is met, you know, so for, let's just use the donut shop example, right? If I'm saying, I always believe that I can sell 500 donuts a day, right? I always can sell 500 donuts a day by 3 p.m. And you get like really super specific. Sometimes people, that actually restricts us because we're holding on so tightly to how we expect something to happen. And that shows that we're not actually trusting. We don't actually believe that the universe or God or whoever you want to, whatever you want to call it, is supporting us. It's supporting you. And when you hold on tightly, you create more stress and more anxiety for yourself. And this is why what I see happen with so many people who are like, okay, cool. I'm going to, you know, buy into this whole mindset thing and this whole, you know, using affirmations and positive beliefs. I'm going to buy into that. And then a couple weeks later, they're like, why is nothing happening? This is horrible. I've been working my beliefs every day, right? We see that all the time. The reason why it's not happening is because you're holding on so tightly. You've got to have a co-creative, trusting experience.
Let me just tell you, Nikki, Jeffrey holds on very tightly to donuts.
Yeah, I do. Suarez Bakery deserves a plug here. But
so, oh, man. Okay, so you talk about a wealth mindset. Before we get into that, can you first define it for our diehards?
Yes. So wealth mindset is believing that we live in an infinite world, that you, that infinite abundance is available to us in every moment.
But you're going to get your share.
Yeah, there's more than enough. The world is infinite. The abundance of the world is infinite. There's more than enough because everything is energy. And so when I hold a wealth mindset, I hold myself as capable of creating and receiving all that I desire. And I also hold everybody else in that same light.
But in sales, it's so competitive, right? Yeah. Like I don't want my competitor to get the job. So how would you counter that if there was a mindset shift?
I want my competitor's abundance and my abundance.
You have to hold that as possible. You have to decide that it's, that there is no competition, that there's more than enough for everybody.
Okay. I'm only going to throw this at you, that we live in a world of laws, and you can get as much as you want, and then the government wants their share, the state wants their share. How do you deal with that crap?
If you truly hold a wealth mindset, none of those things matter. This is where
unless
we're
you don't
getting
file, and then you turn
Nikki
around.
Is, okay. Hold on, Nikki is not espousing tax evasion, Jeffrey. She's not.
No, and we can celebrate. Can we celebrate the taxes that we pay and the money, you know, that we owe? And
fuck
say,
no,
oh
I'm not going to celebrate.
But this is the no shift way. In
mindset. Throw your tax check a party.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do.
Think about it. This is true wealth mindset. This is true abundance mindset. If I can say, wow, I have a $100,000 tax bill this year. This is amazing because that means that I made, you know, whatever that is, $2 million or whatever it is, right? So we get
it
to
depends. It might be 200,000 if we change our ways.
Oh, calm down.
But oh,
calm
not
down.
There.
Calm
you
down.
Hold that.
But listen, I don't disagree that it's a mindset at all. But I think that there has to be a game plan to create that abundance. You can think it, and you can think the fact that you're going to get it. But I also want to be able to make certain that I get it because I have a game plan to make it happen.
And I think for some people that might be an easier thing depending on their state. But if, for example, you're dealing with someone who's broke, okay, how do you create that abundance or wealth mindset when you're in the shitter?
You got to start where you are, always.
I made our producer laugh.
As New York comes beaming through.
Sorry. All right.
Have you ever been to New York, Nikki? Have you spent much time there?
I spent a little time there. You guys, I really don't like New York because energetically it's so intense.
Yes, right. It is.
It feels like you're like being bombarded with just everybody else's stuff.
Yes.
I don't know how people do it.
There's a donut shop on every corner.
No, there's a nail place on every corner. That's for real. Okay, but let's talk about this. So you're in the shitter or you're broke. How do you create that abundance mindset?
Slowly. I mean, it's not going to happen every night.
Well, let Nikki answer. I want to know what she has to say.
So we can look to create abundance from exactly where we are today. We can look even – okay, so one thing that I love to do when I'm feeling a crunch of – maybe I'm not in wealth mindset right now, or I'm having scarcity. Look to nature. Can you look to and celebrate the abundance of everything you see around you? Like there's so much, even in your own life, even when things are not great, what can I find gratitude for? The even like, wow, I'm in this, like things suck right now.
You almost swore.
Come on. I gave her the leeway.
I heard it.
Can I find gratitude for even the smallest of things, even when things are not going my way? Like, wow, you know what? I'm broke right now. I have bills to pay, but I can celebrate that I have, and I can feel so much gratitude for the fact that I have this home that I get to live in still, or that I have, you know, this incredible family. We got to create gratitude. Feelings of gratitude is how we step into abundance and wealth mindset. If you're not grateful for what you have, you will not be able to receive more.
I think that what happens to a lot of people is that when they're in debt, they're thinking about the money they owe and the fact that there's not enough money versus, versus thinking about, okay, I need to go make 100 more sales. And then their focus is on the lack of money.
And whatever you focus on grows.
What do you mean?
The thing that you put your attention on, the thought that you think most frequently is the reality. It's what you're experiencing in front of you. And so if I'm constantly thinking about how I'm in debt and I have to pay these bills, you're creating more of that for yourself. Whereas if I decided to shift my attention and say, I'm going to focus on how exciting it would be to make 100 sales. And I'm just going to focus my attention there. Whatever we focus on grows. That is law.
So diehards, what are you focused on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the question. Where are you putting your mind and energy and thoughts to and your beliefs?
I have a question to know about. You have an upcoming program, correct? Called Alchemy of Abundance.
Yes.
Give me a little bit of the chemical analysis of that.
Well, alchemy is transformation, right? It's transforming something to something else. And so the program is designed to help you shift your beliefs from where you are right now to transform them your beliefs around money, your beliefs around abundance, what we're talking about here, getting clear on what am I tolerating? What am I no longer willing to tolerate? What do I want to be experiencing instead? And then doing the work. This is the part that most people don't want to do. Most people don't want to do the work required to change their beliefs because it is work. It takes consistent and persistent action. Right now, we're persistently thinking about what we don't want. We don't want any more debt. We don't want any more, I don't know, all the things, right? I don't want to gain any more weight, whatever it is, right? And we end up focusing our attention on what we don't want instead of doing the work to start focusing on what we do want. And so my program, Alchemy of Abundance, is designed to take you through that process of getting clear on where you are with your beliefs about money and about abundance and transforming them and transforming you and your belief sets into what you do want.
So make that real for us for a minute. If I want to lose weight and I don't want to focus on the fact that I don't want to gain weight, what beliefs do I need?
You need to focus on how, with anything, how do I want to be feeling?
Oh, I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, asking for a friend, of course.
You got to fear those donuts.
What you're looking for when we want to lose weight, when we want to make more money, whatever it is, we think that by getting that thing, losing 10 pounds or making $100,000, that we're going to feel something. There's something that we're looking for. We're going to feel a certain way when we get there. So what is it that you want to be feeling? If you were to lose weight, your friend was going to lose weight, right? How does she want to be feeling? What is like losing weight going to do for her?
And then focus on that.
Correct. And then that's what you focus on. So we're not focusing on like the fact that we're trying to lose weight. We're focusing on, I want to feel more, confident about myself. I want to feel happy, right? And so then I can focus my attention on feeling happy and feeling confident.
Well, to begin with, Nikki mentioned that changing her mindset was the biggest key from her making $2,500 in a single year to having $20,000 months on a regular basis. I wonder if it's really that simple.
I think it is. I mean, people don't talk about how important mindset is. They try to give you all these strategies, all these tactics, and they skip over the mindset part. And if you don't have the right sales mindset, if you don't have the right attitude towards abundance and towards a growth mindset and towards no matter what, being positive, you're not going to make it.
I have to tell you, and this is just my opinion, but it happened to me on a woo basis, and I'll share it with you diehards, and you see how you want to change your mindset with respect to what you do, because you never know how you're affecting other people. I'm in a seminar in Baltimore, Maryland. There's 750 people in the room, and I'm getting ready mentally to be able to, to do the best I possibly can. And some lady comes up and says, I came to the seminar today to see you, and I'm hoping I get one thing that I can take home and use. I said, whoa. I said, you're going to get like 25 things, maybe 50 things from this talk that I'm going to give today. And she goes, you don't understand. I said, what do you mean? She said, people didn't come here for a seminar today. They came to honor you. And I said, oh. And I changed my whole mindset. I changed every mindset that I've ever had walking into an audience where people have paid to come see me to understand what it is that they're really expecting from me. They're expecting a message that they can take home and use and either turn into success or turn into money or turn into happiness or turn into a better attitude. But they're there expecting. They have a hope when they're there. So we're going to be going outbound, and these people who are coming to pay $500 or $1,000, whatever it is, they have a hope. And my job is to deliver beyond a message that goes beyond hope and gives information.
Yeah. 100%. I love that, Jeffrey. And a lot of our diehard listeners are thinking like, but no one knows who I am. They wouldn't come to see me. And that's okay if that's your thought right now, but you can do woo things to get your mindset there. Whether people know who you are or not, they still should be coming to see you, and they still should be coming to hear the hope you have to give them and the potential outcome that you have to give them.
You pay attention to that woo. You pay attention whenever it happens to you. You have to be on the outlook for it. And you can't, you know, woo appears when you don't know it's coming. You're not expecting it, and it's not going to show up if your head's in your phone.
So this could be a whole other episode, but there are some woo-y things that I do so that it's not always unexpected. Like, you know how I do the sage and the Palo Santo, and I clear the space and the air in our house?
I'm aware of that, Jen.
Okay, so diehards, this is a little bit of a secret here. But I'm very, very woo. And I don't know if it actually clears the air. I don't know if it actually works. But you know what? It calms down my mind and it calms down my spirit so that I am open to accepting the positivity that comes from it next. And I think it really is a mindset thing because I've now taken action. And if you don't know what those things are, just Google them. I'm not going to go into them on this episode. But
be careful because they may bring your house down as well.
They sound wonderful.
Yeah, they are exactly. Wonderful. But I also have these woo cards. And every morning I'm getting these looks like, oh, no, don't expose yourself.
Yeah.
I just love.
That could be an omen. That could be a woo. That could be a woo moment.
So I have these wooey cards, and every morning I sit with myself for, you know, 5-10 minutes. It's not long, and I listen to really great relaxation music. I light some candles, so I create this really nice energy in my little writing room.
And she takes out dolls of the people she doesn't like. No. Oh, wait, that's
no,
voodoo.
That's
voodoo.
Yeah. No, I pull a card, and I have a whole ritual of how I pull the card, and the card gives me some sort of inspiration for the day. And it's like reading a book, but really it's that's inspirational, but really it's reading a intentional card that can give you something to go to aim for that day. And then there's a booklet with it that explains it in more detail. But they're very inspirational, and I find them very guiding. And I know that may be a little bit too woo for some of you, but let me tell you, once you get into it, oh man, it freaking rocks.
So I'm going to throw one more thing at you, diehards, because we have opposing views on this. I think woo is something that happens to you, not something that you do for yourself. I think if you're the right person, you put your right message out there, all of a sudden woo shows up. That's just me. I could be wrong on this, but
I think that you have to create the right energy to have woo show up for you, because if your energy isn't open to it, the woo's going to be there and it's going to fly right over your head.
Yeah,
you're going to totally miss it.
Yeah, we agree on that.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
So, all right. So, you know, Nikki also talked about mindset. And I'm wondering if you've ever had a moment, Jeffrey, where fear or a lack of a positive mindset has hindered you in your career.
I can't really say that that's true, Jen. I've gone into every sales call with the expectation that I'm going to walk out with a piece of business. Mm-hmm. But I can say that sometimes things get you down. Like if you're sick and you have the flu, or you all of a sudden you need an appendectomy, that can get to your attitude for sure. And the woo would go away because you're focused on either getting better or getting more. You run out of money. And you wonder where the woo is, and, you know, things happen in life like that.
I'll give you one of mine.
All right, go.
So when I quit my job that I had been at for 6.5 years, I had always wanted to start my own business. Like, it was like a dream of mine since I was 5. And when I quit my job, that would have been like the perfect time. You're like walking away from one era, going to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared shitless to go out on my own, because of the fear of income, the fear of how that would work, the fear of, I mean, just so many freaking fears. So I took another job.
Hmm.
I took a job as the COO of another company that I don't list on my LinkedIn on purpose. And And within, I would say, 60 days, maybe 90, but definitely between there, I knew it was not the right job for me. And I knew that not only was it not the right job for me because we had conflicting, what do you call that? Morals. I had ethics and morals, and the other person did not. I realized that it was very important for me to just go do my own thing. Like, what? Why was that fear holding me back? It helped me realize that, like, I could do this better. I could go start a business better than so many other people out there. And I gained, by that negative experience, I actually gained the confidence that I needed to start my own thing. But I will tell you, like, when I quit that job of 6.5 years and I had a steady income and I knew in my heart that I should start my own business, I didn't do it. Because fear held me back. And so it is all about that mindset and having these moments of confidence builders and things that you need to be ready to do whatever it is that you need to do.
I will tell you, just to corroborate that, many entrepreneurs started their business by thinking, I can do this better than this guy or this person. I promoted two rock concerts because I went to a small one and said, I can do this better than this guy did. He's an idiot. And I started writing because I said, oh, I can do this better than this guy. He's not a good writer. I think that you have to look at this diehard. Take an introspective look and ask yourself, what do you believe in your heart that you can do better than what's being done right now? And why aren't you trying it? You got one shot at this. Go take it.
Hell yeah. All right.
I'm going to be Jeffrey Gittimer.
Oh, okay. Well, until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I would get out there and woo, woo, woo yourself until you have put yourself in a better monetary position. Get out there and make a sale, start your own business, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or die hard. Love the show? Make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.